Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and a very special guest on today's edition, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. The Word of God reveals true freedom and life in Jesus Christ, and it intersects with your life every day. As for the phones, they're not open today, so we can bring you the special edition of Basic Gospel. Now, here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Our special guest today is Dave Bish. He is the pastor of Tri-County Church in Dubois, Pennsylvania. He and I serve together on the board of directors for a ministry to Jamaica, One by One to Jamaica. Dave has been to one of our conferences a number of years ago, but he is a dynamic guy, a passionate guy about the church. And there in Dubois, Pennsylvania, they're doing church a little bit differently. And we're excited, Dave, to have you with us to tell your story and talk about the church and how God uses the church today to spread his love and grace and mercy and to bring glory to himself. So, Dave, welcome to Basic Gospel.
Yes, indeed.
Thank you very much. It's my pleasure.
Well, it's our pleasure to have you. And as I mentioned, you and I have come to know each other through our mutual love and service to One by One to Jamaica, a mission organization. You and I have had a lot of opportunity to talk about the church. And you were drawn to a little community there in Pennsylvania to do church differently. What in the world does that mean?
Well, first of all, Dubois, Pennsylvania, where we've lived for the last 19 and a half years when we moved up here to plant or start Tri-County Church, we've always kind of joked that that's kind of place where nobody really goes to unless God calls you. but it's a rural community, conservative community, and when I first come up here almost 20 years ago, I just thought to myself, you know, God is amazing the way he doesn't let anybody slip through the cracks. I mean, it's just one of those typical small-town American kind of venues that I just felt like God wanted us to come up and share the message of grace, which, of course, you guys are all too familiar with. I think one of the defining characteristics of Tri-County Church from the beginning was we made grace a real center point of the gospel message that we shared. But we also realized that it wasn't just about teaching about grace and the love and mercy of God. It was really about living it out in the real world, living it out with our neighbors. And so back 20 years ago, to some degree, I guess you could say we were following in the footsteps of some of the other more seeker-oriented churches in terms of, designing a weekend experience where people could come as they are, and, the music was more contemporary and the dress was casual. I can say honestly, the teaching was always very much in line with God's heart for the Great Commission and the Great Commandment. So that was always really something we were tied to. But the message of Jesus is always the same. It's never changed. But the method for how that message gets out there, whether that's a weekend experience in a church service or whether that's people living it out in their day-to-day lives, that's where we felt like we really wanted to make a difference. And so the language we use around Tri-County Church, and it's the title of a book I've written, is I Don't Go to Church, I Am the Church. And I'm sure we'll talk a little bit more about what that means in the moments ahead here.
Well, you're stealing some of my thunder there as far as introducing that title.
Sorry to jump ahead.
Hey, that's A-okay. I think that is a very intriguing title. But I want to just talk about something that you said as far as grace being a center point of the church.
Yeah.
And the fact that you said it's more than just the teaching. And I think that is a significant statement, very insightful, because grace is not a subject matter that we are to dig in and try to learn everything about it that we possibly can, although that's a part of it. Uh-huh. Grace is really attached to the person and work of Jesus Christ. It's a word that's active. It's a word that when we get attached to it, things start happening inside of us internally that eventually begins to show up externally, doesn't it?
It does, and I think it's in direct proportion to the grace you receive, is the grace that you end up offering. The only legitimate response to receiving grace is the natural outcome of offering grace. What I've noticed about people and myself is we all love talking about grace until we have to offer it to someone else. We love the idea of forgiveness until we're called upon to forgive somebody. We love the idea of giving, being generous, and serving other people until we actually have to give and serve other people. So you're right, Bob. It's not enough to teach it. It's not about it being taught. It's really about it being lived out in our lives. And so Jesus obviously is our model because he was not just the he didn't just teach the Word of God. He was and is the Word of God, and his very life is the expression of what not just this grace looks like in flesh and blood, but what the church really is to be, the people of God expressing the character of God.
Yes, indeed. Again, one more comment about grace. You know, so many people think of it in terms of a word that looks to the past. It's a covering of the past. It becomes this curtain that is pulled down, and we no longer can look at our past, and God doesn't look at our past. But I found that when you look at the Word of God, grace is actually a present to future word. It's a word that moves us forward. And I think that's what you're seeing there at Tri-County, that this grace is empowering you as a pastor and the leadership team and the group of people that come every week. Grace is empowering you to be something different in that community than normal church is thought of, isn't it?
Very much so. Some of the language that we use in our culture, I mean, language creates culture. So, you know, I don't go to church as a part of that language. We also have a saying around Tri-County that it looks a lot like love, you know, because people from time to time say, well, you know, what is it, you know, what does it look like to be the church? If church is something I am and it's not something I just go to, you know, we like to say it looks a lot like love, because that's what it looked like for Jesus. You know, he loved us so much that he made this way possible. So, you know, we're really trying to move people from the confined definitions of church and religion to understanding it as very alive and organic. It's a relationship with God that comes out. It comes out in the way, you know, we live our lives. Every once in a while, you know, someone will make the comment, well, you know, I want something really deep. You know, I want the teaching at the church to be deeper, and I want something deep. And many times I'll just, and especially if I have a good relationship with that person, is I'll just say, you know what, it really doesn't get any deeper than love. You know, that's the great commandment. Love God with all my heart. And Jesus always coupled those together with love your neighbor as yourself. And we make love because I believe it's an outpouring, certainly an expression of grace, genuine grace, manifests itself as love for God and love for others.
Well, this is Basic Gospel. I'm Bob Christopher, along with Bob Davis and Richard Pfeiffer. And our special guest today is Dave Bish. He's the pastor of Tri-County Church in Du Bois, Pennsylvania, and just a wonderful friend. He's just passionate about doing church the way God's Spirit leads them as a body of Christ to do so. And Dave, you mentioned your book, I Don't Go to Church, I Am the Church. What inspired you to write that? What was the compelling reason to put some of your thoughts down on paper and get it out to the body at large?
I think it began when I started to ask myself the questions, what did Jesus say? Certainly we make what Jesus said and what he says important to our church, and I know you guys at Basic Gospel do as well. And so I started thinking about some of the things Jesus said specifically about the church. It's interesting, you know, the word church is, you know, in the original, it's a word that really speaks to a gathering of people, you know, who kind of have this common identity. But what we've thought about as church over the years, and when it got translated into German and later into English, you know, it's a word that we normally more associate with a building or a place. And so, you know, I've tried to go back to understanding church as, you know, the way Jesus did, as the people of God, you know, reflecting the character of God. And one of the things that was really riveting to me, and, you know, you guys, I'm sure, are familiar with this passage out of Matthew 16, but when Jesus was talking to Peter, you know, Jesus made this statement. He said, I will build my church. So a couple of things stuck out to me about that. First of all, I'm not building Jesus' church, he is. And so I'm only contributing to the building of the church if I'm following Jesus, making him the subject and him the center. So if Jesus is the one who's building his church, then I need to make sure that I'm, you know, doing what he said and understanding it the way he understood it. The other things that Jesus said that I think start to kind of flesh out what it means to be the church is, you know, he never said to go to church, first of all. You know, nowhere do we see Jesus saying that you need to go to church. But he did say things like this. He says, you will be my witnesses in Acts 1. He said, he didn't say you'll go witnessing. He said, you'll be my witnesses. He did say, come to me, referring to himself. He did say, follow me, referring to himself. He did say, love your neighbors. He did say, make disciples. And he did say, deny yourself and take up your cross. So the things that Jesus did say should, I think, inform our understanding of the church a lot more than what he didn't say. And I just feel like there's still a lot of people in church culture, when they think about church, they immediately gravitate towards the ideas of, well, it's that building that I go to, or it's a weekend service, or, you know, they don't oftentimes see it as, you know, the people of God who are on mission for God, reflecting the character of God. That little thing we used to do as kids, you know, here's the church, you know, with our hands, here's the church and here's the steeple, open the doors and see all the people. Even though that's a simple, you know, childlike rhyme, that stereotype of the church being a building with a steeple rather than something spiritual and organic and pervasive is something I think a lot of people are having to relearn.
Well, I agree with that. One of the themes through the New Testament, Paul talks about this quite a bit, is the fact that we have become the temple of God. You know, Jesus made that claim, you tear down this temple in 3 days, I will rebuild it. And he was referring to his body as the temple. Well, when he ascended, he sent his spirit, and the church was formed at Pentecost. And we became these living stones being assembled together to build this temple of God that God is using to build his temple, his dwelling place on earth. So it's not a building of brick and mortar. It really is us who have been filled with God's life expressed in love to one another. And you talk about that in terms of kingdom. You start your book out with a chapter titled The Tale of Two Kingdoms. And that's something that we don't talk about a lot, I don't think, in the grace community. There's this message of grace, but God's grace is what opens the door for us to enter into the kingdom of God. We're born again into the kingdom of God, and that kingdom was established through Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, and now we're living that out as a body of believers. How do you see that as a very central part of not only the teaching there at Tri-County, but the living out of this message in everything that you do?
I think it's so foundational. You know, one of the first thoughts that comes to my mind is that, you know, God invites us into this covenant relationship, and that relationship was secured through what Jesus does on the cross and this new life in the Spirit. But along with that covenant relationship also comes a very distinct involvement in a kingdom, God's kingdom, with responsibility. And a lot of times I think religion and the church, you know, we've gotten those things backwards. We put responsibility before relationship instead of seeing relationship as the primary. And one of the things be revealed as a newer idea to me was the two cases where the Father speaks from heaven concerning the Son. You know, he says, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. One at the baptism, the other at the transfiguration. A lot of times, I think all we hear, especially if you grew up in the church around a lot of law, all you heard was, you know, in whom I am well pleased, as if to say the only reason that the Father is pleased with the Son is because the Son has done what he wanted him to do. But we miss what comes first. We miss what God's saying about the identity of Jesus. And I think it's what he says about our identity. He's saying, you're my Son, and I love you. And there's a period at the end of that. You know, that's one complete thought. And out of this unconditional, mutual love comes this amazing desire to do the will of God. Not because I'm afraid of my Father, not because I'm obligated, not because I'm afraid of what happens if I don't, but because I know my Father loves me. And so it's out of this a sense of security and rest and love that I can, you know, express my life as a thank you, as an act of gratitude towards obedience to God and his will. The other thing that I noticed about Jesus is that every time a crowd gathered around Jesus, basically he talked about the kingdom. He would use stories and he would use parables and things from their everyday life to give them a concrete idea of what the kingdom of God is like. And so in more recent years at Tri-County, I have viewed what we do on the weekend when the crowd gathers as an opportunity to teach about the kingdom of God. And not everybody in that crowd at Tri-County is a believer or a Christ follower. And same would have been said of Jesus's gatherings. Those people, lots of them were religious people. Some of them were irreligious people. And so he had quite a cross-section. And so for us, for me personally, the teaching on the weekend is about the kingdom and an invitation to a relationship and to be a part of this kingdom. And then some other form of relationship has to happen afterwards to truly make disciples of those people in the crowd. But yes, I absolutely believe that it's about this kingdom of God. And there are these two competing kingdoms, the kingdom of this world, the kingdom of God, and God gives us an opportunity through Christ to re-engage, to be, to walk back into this kingdom of God, which Jesus said, by the way, even to his disciples when he was on the earth, he says, the kingdom is here. Kingdom is among you even now.
Yes, indeed. Well, if you find this conversation intriguing and want to know more of what Dave has written in his book, I Don't Go to Church, we have that available at our website. It's right on the front page. The title is I Don't Go to Church, I Am the Church. I said, that's an intriguing title. I know you will find it of great interest and encouragement to you. If you're a pastor and you're listening today, I would highly recommend this book to you. It may be the very thing that you're looking for that can help transform your ministry and give new meaning and purpose to what the congregation of people that God has led your way need to be involved in as far as this grace of God, this kingdom of God that we're called to be a part of. Dave, you write a chapter in there, and the title is We're All in Full-Time Ministry, and that's an important theme for us at Basic Gospel. We see a couple of passages in the New Testament. Both are in 2 Corinthians, one in chapter 3, one in chapter 5. Paul says he's a minister of the new covenant, and then he says that we're ministers of reconciliation. And that's just not for the hired guns, the clergy. That's a description of all of us, isn't it?
Truly. And this is one of the big game changers, I think, that comes out of some of the things that I've written, but also I think there's a general awakening that's happening, thankfully, in the church regarding the priesthood of the believer. I believe that every follower of Jesus is a missionary. I believe that every follower of Jesus is a minister. I believe that every follower of Jesus is a potential church planter. I know that God gives, the Spirit gives the different gifts, and as we work together, we become more effectively the full expression of his church. But for absolute sure, the idea that we're all full-time ministers is a message that I've been conveying for a number of years. In fact, there's another chapter in the book called Just Call Me Dave. Those two chapters are linked together along the same idea. And what I did that weekend a number of years ago is all the pastors on staff at our church, we changed our email addresses from PastorDave@TriCountyChurch. To just Dave, you know, just I'm, you know, and I want people to understand, I'm not discounting the role or office of a pastor, and some people might get the wrong idea too, even about the title of the book. I'm the lead pastor of our church and the primary communicator, so I absolutely do go to church, you know, three services a weekend on our main campus, and so this is to say nothing against the value and the sacredness of what happens on the weekends when we gather. But we must understand that it's not just what happens on the weekends that we gather that is the real potency of the church. It's what happens when we leave those walls and go out into our own houses with our families and our neighborhood, where we actually get a chance to be the church. And one humorous story is I have three sons and a daughter. My youngest son, he and his twin sister just turned 21 a few weeks ago. But when he was younger, probably early high school, there was a weekend that I didn't see him at church at one of our services. And I just asked him that Sunday afternoon when we're home as a family. I said, you know what, I didn't see you in church. And he looked at me without missing a beat, and he says, Dad, you know I don't go to church. I am the church. I think he thought he was trying to get away with something, and we had a little discussion about what I really mean by that and what the heart of that looks like. But yeah, the idea that every believer is a part of not just this kingdom, but has, as Paul wrote so eloquently, a spiritual gift and a place in the family. These living stones, you know, they're built together, as you said earlier, and they're not to be isolated from one another. And they're not just, it wasn't about a physical building that Paul was writing about. It was about a living temple,
absolutely,
a living sacrifice.
Well, Dave, you're a guy that thinks outside the box. You know, you haven't just followed tradition and done things because that's the way we've always done things throughout church history. A part of that outside the box thinking, y'all have developed a program called Church Without Walls. You've told me about that in the past. I've just been fascinated by that. Tell our audience a little bit of what that looks like, exactly what Church Without Walls is for Tri-County.
First of all, this really isn't all original with us. I have learned so many good things from other pastors and leaders and in churches. So the idea of what I'm going to describe now, we've kind of tweaked some things, but I can't honestly say this was an original idea with me. But what we mean by Church Without Walls is that we're the church wherever we go. We're the church when we're at church, the church building that is. We're at church when we're at home. We're at church when we're at school or at work or wherever we go. Like Paul said in Romans, you know, wherever our feet take us, the good news, the gospel of Jesus is to go with us. But we do something special every year. Every year in the fall, like when school starts, I usually revisit this whole philosophy of being the church in a series of messages. This past year was no different. The weekend after Labor Day, I started a series called Follow Me. And it was, you know, follow me to a life in Jesus, follow me to a life together, to a life of service. And then finally was the fourth message was a life on mission. And then what we do is at the end of the teaching series, whether it's 4 or 5 or 6 weeks of teaching on this subject, we do what we call Church Without Walls. And what we'll do that weekend, we just had it about 10 days ago on the first weekend of October. We don't have any of our services. Now, Tri-County Church has 3 weekend services and 2 multi-site campuses. So we have about 5 services per weekend. And so on that weekend, we didn't have any of our services. We closed the doors, and there were no church services. But we mobilized several hundred people to go out into both the community and to the homes of people that we know who had need, and we served. So instead of the church having a church service, we were the church serving. And we've done this for about 7 or 8 years now, and it has always been a real game changer for people. You know, we don't go to church that weekend. We are the church. And for us at Tri-County, it's been an object lesson. It's been a catalytic event that helps people think about what it really means to be the church. And my vision for all of this is not that people would just serve one weekend a year, obviously, but that they would get a taste for what it looks like to live a life of service, to be the church 24/7, 365. And I'll tell you, it's really gotten a lot of traction. There are a lot of people at Tri-County Church over the years who have moved from doing this one project a year in October to just living this way every day of their lives.
Well, Dave, I think that's a fabulous reality that you guys are involved in there. It looks a lot like love. You're going out, you're being the church, you're making a difference, not only there, but I think around the world as well. And we certainly appreciate you joining us today. Thank you so very much for that. Thank you for jumping on with us. If you are listening and you want a copy of Dave's book, you can order it on our website at basicgospel.net. The title of it is I Don't Go to Church, I Am the Church.
Thanks for joining us for this edition, everybody, a very special edition with Pastor Dave Bish of Tri-County Church in DuBois, Pennsylvania. And again, I would like to add my thanks to Dave for being a part of it. Well, now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Pfeiffer and the ministry team, this is Bob Davis inviting you to join us again next time for another edition of Basic Gospel.